Please turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, to introduce our lesson, we want to read verses 14 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This morning we studied a number of passages from the Lord's Word that teach us the truth about Jesus' birth. There are many things commonly believed that are not actually based on Scripture. And, of course, to know the truth, we must continue or abide in the Lord's Word. These verses that we just read from Hebrews chapter 2 help us to understand one reason why Jesus came to earth as a man. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he suffered so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest. That's one reason why Jesus came to earth. Now, during his ministry, he presented a number of reasons why he came to earth in the flesh, but these explain why Jesus came in the flesh, or at least one reason why he suffered as a man. In our lesson, we want to point out 10 ways from the Gospel of John in which Jesus suffered as a man. So let's turn to the Gospel of John. Now, much more information could be studied from all the Gospel accounts, but we want to concentrate on that one Gospel written by the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we want to point out 10 ways in which Jesus suffered as a man. We know that's one reason why he came to earth in the flesh, to suffer as a man, so he'd be qualified to be our high priest. Let's look at some specific ways in which Jesus suffered as a man. No doubt we can relate to many of these things ourselves. And that's the purpose for this, to help us understand that we have a high priest who is able to empathize with us. He understands exactly what we go through as we face various difficulties. Let's turn to John chapter 4, and we want to point out from a few verses that Jesus, as a man, suffered weariness. That is, he got physically tired. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Now notice this. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and he got tired. He was physically tired. You know, we ought to be able to appreciate the fact when we get tired that Jesus knows how we feel. Not only does he understand how we feel, but on this occasion, he provided a wonderful example for us to follow. I don't know about you, but when I get tired, I'm thinking about my need for rest. And of course, that's the way the body is made. We get tired. We need rest to be revived. Jesus was tired. Now that led him to do something. He took advantage of an opportunity to teach a woman. A woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus asked her for a drink of water. That provided an opportunity for him to discuss a number of very important subjects with this woman. She went back to town and brought a whole host of people out to meet the Lord themselves. So while it might seem like a trivial point that Jesus was weary, he set a wonderful example before us, and even while he was weary, he was looking for opportunities to do his Father's will. And when that opportunity was presented to him, he took advantage of it. And thinking about that particular point, I thought, one of these days I want to prepare a lesson on Jesus and a drink of water. That drink of water that Jesus requested on this occasion provided an opportunity for him to teach this Samaritan woman and deal with some very personal matters that she needed to know about. And not only her, but there were other people who came out to be taught by the Lord. So as a man, Jesus suffered weariness. Number two, let's turn to John chapter 7. As a man, Jesus suffered doubt and disbelief or unbelief from his own family. Now, not all of his family, but some of his family. John chapter 7, let's begin reading at verse 3. His brethren, that is his brothers, he had four brothers. We also know that Jesus had sisters. We don't know how many, and we do not know their names, but we actually know the names of his brothers. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now notice verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now we know that that changed eventually. After the Lord was resurrected from the grave, his followers were in Jerusalem, and a number of those followers are listed. The apostles were there. The Lord's mother was there. His brothers were there. They obviously changed their minds. But at one time, the Lord's own followers, his own brothers, had doubts about him, and at one point, they did not believe in him. You know, that had to be a serious trial for the Lord. You would think that the Lord's own brothers would know him perhaps better than anyone else, but at one point, they did not believe in him. Well, sometimes we go through similar experiences. Maybe a family member does not appreciate the fact that we're members of the Lord's church or something to that effect. We need to remember that the Lord understands exactly how we feel. Now, did Jesus compromise for the sake of his brothers? No, he did not. They later developed faith in him. As a matter of fact, two of the Lord's brothers wrote letters in the New Testament, the book of James, as well as the book of Jude. We believe those two letters were written by two of the Lord's brothers. Let's turn to John chapter 8. This is a third way in which Jesus suffered as a man. He suffered sarcasm. For a number of weeks now, we've been introducing our lessons on Sunday morning by reading verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the people to whom Jesus was speaking according to verse 30, had believed on him. But when he said that there was something else required of them to be his true disciples and to be made free, they took exception to that. They began to argue with the Lord, and the Lord answered all of their arguments, and he did so very well. But I want you to consider one statement that they made to the Lord. Look at verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? I don't know if we can fully appreciate the sarcasm of that. At the time, there was a lot of animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews despised the Samaritans. And it's my understanding that if they wanted to insult someone, all they had to do is call a person a Samaritan. That's like later on we read in the book of Titus about the Cretans. Well, at one time, if you called a person a Cretan, that was not meant to be a compliment. These people were being sarcastic to the Lord. Now, they couldn't answer his reasoning. So what did they do? They made a personal attack. They insulted him. They were sarcastic. And look at verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. They accused Jesus of having a devil. Now once again, not only do we understand that Jesus is able to relate to us if we face sarcasm today, but he set a wonderful example before us. Peter tells us, when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. Now, our Lord answered those people who were being sarcastic toward him, but he did not respond in the same way. Oh, he let them know on this occasion who their father was. They claimed that Abraham was their father. Jesus answered that. Then they claimed that God was their father. Jesus answered that. And then they began to make these sarcastic remarks. But Jesus went on to show them that their father was the devil. He wasn't being sarcastic when he made that remark. He explained why they were children of the devil. The point we want to make is that Jesus, as a man, suffered sarcasm, but he provided a wonderful example before us. He was reviled, but he did not respond in kind. He avoided that temptation. Number four, as a man, Jesus suffered rejection. And we want to consider two different ways in which Jesus suffered rejection. First, he suffered rejection by some of his own disciples. Look at John 6, and let's read verse 66. I've said many, many times, this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Now, here we read about some of the Lord's disciples. Now, many times the apostles are referred to as the Lord's disciples. A disciple is a learner or a follower of someone else. These are people who had heard Jesus teach. No doubt they had seen his miracles. They had been followers of his. But when some of the Lord's instructions in chapter 6 became a little bit challenging to them, notice their response. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Sometimes I try to imagine scenes that we read about in the Bible. I've tried to imagine the expression on the Lord's face when he saw those people walk away from him. That had to be a trial. It had to hurt. If you consider what took place after this, you can almost get an idea that the Lord did feel some pain from what happened, because he turned to the 12 and said, Would you also go away? Well, Peter rose to the occasion. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. No wonder there was such a close relationship between Jesus and Peter. I believe the Lord needed to hear that, and Peter delivered. There were many times when Peter fell on his face, but he always got up, and there were several times when he said exactly what the Lord needed to hear. Jesus suffered rejection by his disciples, also his own countrymen. Go back to chapter 8 for a moment, and let's look at verse 59. We've already pointed out from this chapter that the people that Jesus was talking to delivered some sarcasm to him. They called him a Samaritan, and they accused him of having a devil. Jesus responded to all of their statements, but notice what they finally did. The last verse of John chapter 8 says, Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now that's some pretty serious rejection. People took up stones to cast at the Lord. I'm convinced their intention was to put him to death. They were not successful. I've always appreciated, though, the last few words of that verse. Jesus escaped, and so passed by. Then as chapter 9 begins, as Jesus passed by, he came in contact with that man who was born blind. He healed him, and that led to other opportunities. Even when Jesus suffered rejection, he didn't give up. When another opportunity was presented to him, he took advantage of it. Let's turn to John chapter 11. As a man, Jesus suffered grief. Now, if you're familiar with John chapter 11, you know that this chapter tells about the death and the raising of Lazarus from the grave. One of the Lord's great miracles we read about in this chapter. Lazarus had two sisters. Their names were Mary and Martha. The whole family loved Jesus, and Jesus loved this family. But Lazarus got sick, and his life came to an end. Jesus went to be with Mary and Martha. Now, we're familiar with the outcome. Jesus brought Lazarus out of the tomb. But there are a few verses that indicate to us that Jesus suffered grief. He suffered the pain of losing a very dear friend. Let's start at verse 32. Then when Martha was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Don't you know that the Lord was feeling some anguish? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now notice the impression that this had on some of the people who were present. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Jesus lost a dear friend. He was troubled by that. He suffered grief. This is not the only occasion. It was reported to him in the Gospel of Matthew that John the Baptist had lost his life. Jesus departed and went out into a solitary place. He wanted to get away from the crowd for a while. Now, we're all familiar with grief, but we need to appreciate the fact that our Lord's able to empathize with us when we go through periods of mourning and periods of grief. He understands exactly how we feel. Number six, as a man, Jesus suffered betrayal. Let's go to John chapter 18. Read a few verses beginning at verse 2. Chapter 18, verse 2. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas, which also betrayed him, stood with them. Now keep in mind that the Lord had two apostles with the same name. Judas the betrayer is identified as Judas Iscariot. And it's interesting that when you look at the occasions in the Gospels when the apostles are listed, and there are several times when they're listed, Simon Peter is always first, Judas Iscariot is always last, every time. You know, that had to hurt when Jesus was betrayed by one of his own followers. Our Lord knows how it feels. Look at chapter 19. As a man, Jesus suffered unjust treatment. Chapter 19, let's begin at verse 1. By the way, we were just reading about the occasion when Judas came with the officers and so forth to arrest the Lord. What were they carrying? Torches? Lanterns? What does that indicate to us? It happened under the cover of darkness. Everything about the Lord's arrest and trials was just very underhanded. Let's notice some of the unjust treatment that he received. Chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That was a severe whipping. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Jesus suffered unjust treatment. Once again, he set a wonderful example before us. How did he respond to these people who abused him? Well, eventually he would pray for them when he was on the cross. Jesus had the power to call down over 12 legions of angels. Now, some have said that a legion would have been 1,000. Jesus had at his disposal more than 12 legions of angels. I've read about the destruction that one angel caused. I happen to remember one time when an angel was afflicting the Israelites. I believe there were about 70,000 that died when God stopped him. I'm assuming that that angel had more power to kill even more people. Jesus had all of that power at his disposal, but he suffered this unjust treatment. He knew it was the Father's will. You know, sometimes we face treatment that we would consider to be unjust. We'll never face anything like what the Lord faced, but the Lord's able to empathize with us. And throughout all of it, he maintained his integrity. Now let's turn to chapter 19. And we want to notice that as a man, Jesus suffered care and concern for his mother. Chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. You know, Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. While he was dying, his mother stood by the cross. And I hadn't really thought about this until a few years ago. It was pointed out to me, Jesus was the oldest child in his family. As I pointed out earlier, he had four brothers. He had sisters. We don't know how many sisters, but that's quite a large family. He trusted the care of his mother to the disciple whom he loved, that is John. And I believe our Lord had confidence in John. The Bible says that John took the Lord's mother into his own home. That's a situation that we're all too familiar with, and it's very heart-touching. We were reminded of that even today. After we ate lunch, we got in the car, and I'd received a text from Jerry's daughter that Lynn is now in a rehab place, and I didn't know where it was, but thankfully, I was able to use my trusty cell phone and get the address, and we went there. Aren't you proud of me, Gary, for using my phone? I'm not very good at it. Well, we found the place. We went in, and we visited Lynn for just a little while. And there happened to be someone in the same room with Lynn. There was a curtain drawn. And I didn't pay too much attention when we walked in, but while we were there, a young man brought Teresa a chair. I just assumed that he worked with the rehab place. He had on a mask and he had on gloves. I just assumed he was a worker at the rehab facility. Well, before we left, I asked Lynn if she would like for us to have a prayer with her. Of course, she did. We had a brief prayer. Teresa was leaving ahead of me while I was speaking to Lynn. She spoke to the young man next to us. Up until this time, I thought he was an employee. His mother was in the bed, and she was gravely ill. He had been feeding her and was having a difficult time. Now, I didn't see all that. But when we started to leave, Teresa asked this young man, she said, would you like for my husband to have a prayer with you? He said, I was just about to come and ask if he would. I must have looked real preachly today with my hat and with my tie on. So I walked over and I asked his mother's name, and I asked his name. This poor lady was in a serious condition. Well, we had a brief prayer with him. It provided an opportunity for him to have a business card, so I gave him one, invited him to services. But I no sooner started that prayer than that poor fellow broke down crying. His emotions got the best of him. And I had to struggle with that because of what we've been through. On the way home, I thought, you know, our Lord knows exactly how we feel. When he was dying on the cross for the sins of the world, he took care of his mother. He saw to it that she was provided for. Well, that's always been real touching to me. Our Lord's able to empathize with us as we go through that particular situation. This young man today was having a hard time. I have to commend him. he was there trying to feed his mother, and I tried talking to her, and I thought that I saw her lips move where she was starting to form a smile. I said, look at there, you can smile. And I hope that brought a little bit of relief to that family. But that young man was about to come and ask if I would lead a prayer for him and his mother. Well, when we pray to the Father, we pray through Christ. He's able to empathize with us when we go through that situation. As a man, Jesus suffered physical needs. In chapter 19, let's go down to verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Jesus was thirsty, and he drank some of this, what the Bible calls vinegar. Now, at the beginning of the crucifixion, he was offered another drink. It was a sedative. Jesus refused it. He was going to face what he went through with a clear mind, and he did. But now, as the Lord is about to die, he is physically thirsty. This vinegar here is a totally different drink. Now, when I think of vinegar, I don't think about something that's really thirst-quenching. This is not what we're familiar with. This was something that was designed to quench the thirst, and Jesus took some of it. This was not designed to cause him to be sedated. Jesus suffered physical needs. Well, we all have physical difficulties, don't we? Our Lord's able to empathize with us. And finally, this is number 10. As a man, Jesus suffered death. Look at John chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When our Lord's life came to an end, he was very confident. He realized he had accomplished his mission that the Father gave him. It was done. He was through. And he died. Now let's go back to Hebrews 2 for a moment. And let's tie that in with something that the writer of Hebrews mentioned. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How grateful we need to be that Jesus suffered death. You see, it was necessary for him to die so that he could be resurrected. And when he was raised from the dead, he overcame the power of the devil. The devil has power. Writer of Hebrews says that mentions death in connection with that. Jesus overcame that, and he gave us hope so that we might overcome it as well. Well, the Gospels reveal many more ways in which Jesus suffered as a man. But as Hebrews 4 and verse 15 tells us, Jesus faced all of his suffering without sin. He provides the perfect example for us to look to. Consequently, the Lord is qualified to serve as our merciful and faithful high priest. That being the case, we need to do what we're instructed to do in Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the blessing that we're able to receive because Jesus is such a great high priest. He's a great high priest because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's able to empathize with us in our weaknesses.